This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TDK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
Amen. Well, I have to start with this story. So there was this woman who was really, really lonely. So she posted an ad on a popular website. And the ad simply read, "Husband wanted." Well, much to her surprise, the next morning she woke up and she found over 100 replies waiting for her in her inbox. She read through all of them, and unfortunately, they all said the same thing. "You can have mine." Come on, you awake? "You can have mine." It's a little bit funny, but what a sad reality for many marriages, right? Certainly not intentional, but somehow over time, through carelessness in the relationship, that first love, passion, priority, and the place that was given between a husband and a wife, somehow or another, over time, it got lost. Did you know that the Bible describes our relationship to Jesus like a marriage? The Bible says that when you become a Christian, that we're actually married to Jesus Christ. And just like a marriage between a husband and a wife, there's a danger between our relationship with Jesus as our groom and with us as his bride. If we're not really, really careful, our passion for Jesus, our love for Jesus, can get cold, it can get distant, or it can get lost. Now, all of us know that the reality is that the longer we're in a relationship with someone and the more familiar that we become with someone, if we're not intentional, over time, that relationship can get so comfortable that we run a great risk of losing our first love, our first appreciation, our passion for them in our relationship with them. Isn't that true? Come on, you know that's true, right? Even if you're a kid, right, you understand this. You wanted this toy or this bicycle or this drum set when you were little, right? And you were just begging your parents to get it. I remember. And once we got it, it was like we were in love with it. We were passionate for it. I rode it. I washed it. I cleaned it. I shined it. A couple of months go by, and now it's just sitting there in the yard, and it's collecting dirt, it's collecting dust, until we move on to the next great shiny toy. Yes, but it could be like that in our relationship with Jesus. And we have to be aware of that. Today's going to be a little bit of a vegetable meal. You know, there's those sermons where it's very dessert-oriented, making me feel really, really good. Well, don't get me wrong. The idea is not to make us feel really, really bad. But this is one of those where we're going to have to exercise our spiritual muscles a little bit, because we're starting a new series across all three of our campuses, and we're simply calling it First Love. Will you say that with me? First Love. And in a moment, you'll see from Revelation chapter 2 where we came up with that title, but the heartbeat of the series is real simple. We want to hear Jesus. We want to hear our Savior pleading with the church in Revelation chapter 2, pleading with us as a church today here in Lakeshore, Gastonia, and rediscovering and rekindling and protecting our first love for him. So Revelation chapter 2, just before we read it, let me just give you a quick little bit of information. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is written by the Apostle John. He was one of the first 12 disciples of Jesus, and he was one of the three that was allowed into the inner circle with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And John, he's kind of exiled out onto an island for his faith in Jesus and for his stance in the Word of God. And while he's on this island, he's taken up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the Bible says, and has this incredible spiritual encounter with Jesus. And Jesus is actually speaking to him. And in speaking to him, he tells John to write 7 letters to 7 different churches, real churches of the day. And what's really interesting about this is that not only do these letters apply to those churches back then and there, these are great letters for us today, here and now, to look at. Because as a church, as a pastor, as a congregation, we can see where we might fit in these letters. And the letters are very similar. Jesus does this. He gives a commendation. He gives a constructive criticism. He gives an instruction to turn that around. And then he gives a promise to the churches that do what he asked them to do. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let me just read this real quickly to set the stage. To the angel of the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was an ancient Greek coastal city. He says, I want you to write this. These things says he, Jesus, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now, let me pause. Most scholars agree that the seven stars represent seven pastors, and the seven lampstands represent seven churches. And a lampstand is supposed to bring light, and a church is supposed to bring, come on, say it with me, light. Verse 2, Jesus continues, and he says, this is what I want you to write. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And I know that you can't bear those who are evil. That's good, right? And I know that you have tested those who say they are apostles, sent ones, and they're not. And you found them to be liars. And I know you've persevered. And I know you have patience. And I know that you've labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Commendation, 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 commendation. Verse 4. Nevertheless. You got your spiritual muscles up? You ready? Nevertheless, Jesus is speaking. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Say it with me. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent, change, and go a different direction. The title for today's message is simply this: what happened to first love? What happened to first love? Now, I want you to know something. Jesus isn't saying that you're out of the family if you don't turn this around. He isn't saying that you're not going to heaven, but he is saying you won't be used as a light for others to see what a healthy, vibrant relationship with Jesus looks like. And this is at the heart of Jesus, isn't it? This is what Jesus wants to do. Not only does he want to be a blessing to our lives, but he wants to shine through our lives. Say amen. And he wants to draw other people who need him to himself through our lives. It's also worth noting this, that for 40 years, this church at Ephesus, they hosted the world's greatest Christian leaders of that day. They experienced the power of God. They became one of the most advanced, loving, gifted churches in the kingdom of God. They served tirelessly. They laid it out for Jesus. But something happened. So much so that Jesus says, you've left your first love. The word first is just like you think. It means chief. It means principle. It means best. It means first in priority. It means first place. But can I just remind us of something? This is such a great reminder. The basis for our first love for Jesus is God's first love for us. Can you say amen? That's the basis. Ephesians, the same church that Jesus is bringing criticism to, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church. He's sharing rich, deep spiritual blessing and revelation. And this is what he says. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, delivered, healed, rescued, and given life to the full. Amen? On your worst day, on my worst day, when we had no appreciation for Jesus, he loved you. This word love is that word agape. You've heard it. It's a relentless, unconditional love that never tires, that doesn't measure the worth of it. He just lays it out and lays it out and lays it out. It's never ending. He loves you. The basis for our first love for God is his first love for me. So here's a question. How do we get back to first love? How do we keep the coals hot for Jesus? How do we rekindle that love? You might be here this morning and say, oh, Pastor Robert, I don't have any problems with that. Well, maybe not, but maybe a little bit of pride. Because we all can be reminded about this. Isn't that true? Some of us might even be here this morning and we haven't even made a commitment to Jesus yet. We may have grown up in church or went to church or heard about church. We live in a religious part of the South, but we don't have a relationship with Jesus. So you might be thinking, well, this doesn't even apply. I'm not part of the church, so this letter is not to me. But can I just remind you, if that's you here this morning, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not die, but will live for everlasting life with him in heaven. So there's an invitation for you to step in. There's an invitation for you to receive Jesus as your first love because he first loved you. How do we get back? Look at verse 5. He says, remember from where you have fallen. Somebody say fallen. Now this is an interesting Greek word. Just a little bit of study here. Ek pipto. E-K P-I-P-T-O. You don't have to know that, but I just want you to hear it. Ek, E-K, means out from or out of. Pipto means to have fallen. So it makes sense. You have fallen out of or out from your first love for Jesus. Now, it's interesting to note that the word fall means from a high and lofty position. You once had this love that was priority, that was passionate, that was high, that was lofty for Jesus. Even more interesting, in the Greek verb, this is saying that it's not describing a process of falling. It's something that's already happened. In other words, they're in a fallen state. They have fallen. It's already happened. And again, I want to remind you, the Ephesians church at one time, it was vibrant. It was excited about the love they had for God. They were willing to sacrifice anything to serve God, to serve one another as a family. From the outside, this church still looked like they had it going on. They were serving, they were preaching, they were teaching, they were doing all the right things. But Jesus is looking on the inside, and he sees that they've already fallen. The second thing that I want us to notice is this. What happened that caused them to fall? Or better yet, how do we avoid falling? Here's another word. Remember. Say remember. Jesus says, remember. Remember from where you have fallen. This is an ancient Greek word, and it describes a written account. And it's used to memorialize a person's life, like on a tombstone or on a statue or in a monument in someone's honor. So this word remember suggests a couple of things. First, it's in reference to a memorial or a tombstone in honor of someone's life. In other words, it's like dirt on a grave. The once vibrant experience the Ephesians believers had with Christ now is covered up by dirt on a grave. In other words, their busy schedules, their other pursuits, their other passions, other things that have crept in unintentionally and just kind of taken the place of their first love. Can I even say this? even serving the Lord if we're not careful. Working for the Lord instead of walking with the Lord can take the place of our first love. And it's so subtle. Working for God, working for God, working for God. Can I just remind you, more important to him is our walking with God. Amen? Walking with God. Finally, this word remember. This the construction of this word in the Greek is interesting. It's in the present tense. That means it's here and now, applicable. When we read it, remember, it's something that is now. And then what's really, really interesting about this, it's in the active voice. The active voice means it's not something that God does. It's something that I do. I have to remember. And it's also written in what we call the imperative tense. Imperative means it's imperative that you do it. It means like it's a command. It's not optional. Not if we want to remember and not if we don't want to slip to the place where we have fallen and where we forget our first love. It's very intentional word. It's very, very real time, very life applicable. It's very responsible. I have to choose to remember. So to summarize what Jesus is saying, he's coming to the church in Ephesus in the letter in Revelation chapter 2, and he's coming to us and he's commending them for their faithful service, but he's also urging them to dig down through the clutter of busy life till we rediscover our passion and our first love for him. And then once we find it, he's asking us to never let anything cover it up again. Can you say amen? So three I wills before we go home that will help us. Three I wills. If you're taking notes, this is the first one. I will uncover what's been covered up. Say uncover. That's intentional. To remember, you got to uncover. What's covered up my love for Christ? What's covered up my love for his people? It doesn't have to be intentional. Hear me, church. I love you guys, and you know that I do. This is subtle. This is unintentional. If we're not careful, we can allow stuff and busyness to cover up our love, our commitment, our passion for Jesus. And we need to know our love for Christ will be put to the test. Can you say amen? It will be challenged. True story. I knew this guy. We'll call him Dan. Dan needed Jesus just like all of us do. And Dan received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Dan got water baptized. He publicly confessed Jesus to the world. I'm a follower of Jesus. Dan began to come to our services. He used to come to our Bible studies. Dan needed a job desperately, but he also needed a car to get to work. God gave him both, a job and a car. Can you say amen? But little by little by little, Dan stopped coming to services. He stopped connecting with the body of Christ. He stopped stoking the flame of his love for Jesus. And the reason that he told me he couldn't make it to services is because he was busy working. And then when he wasn't busy working, he was tired from working. And so the challenge that I see all of us can have to be really careful about is when God begins to answer our prayers and God begins to move in our life and God begins to unleash his blessings, we have to be careful that those blessings don't take the place of our first love. Can you say amen? Peter. How do you remember Peter in the Bible? Peter was awesome. He was one of Jesus's inner circle. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter's first love for him was tested. He saw Jesus carried away, and he followed from a distance. And somebody recognized, said, hey, you're one of those. You're with Jesus. No, I'm not. I don't know who he is. You're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. Remember the story? He denies Jesus three times. Jesus is crucified. Jesus is buried. He's dead, and he's gone. Peter denied him. At one time, he said, I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. How many would say that's first love? But Jesus is dead. And now Peter goes back to what he was doing before Jesus approached him. He's back with his buddies fishing in his commercial fishing business. You remember the story? Jesus raises from the dead. He's walking on the shores. He sees Peter and his buddies fishing. He says, hey, cast your net on the other side. They've heard that before. And they did it. And the Bible says that over 100 fish came into their net. And when Peter heard that and when Peter saw that, the Bible says he dove into the water and he swam like 100 yards to the shore to get to Jesus. He knew. Jesus says, bring some of the fish. And Jesus made them breakfast on the shore. And they're having breakfast and they're talking. And I don't know what Jesus and Peter were thinking about, but I know they were both thinking something. Jesus knew that Peter knew he denied him. And Peter knew that Jesus knew that Peter knew he denied him. Did you catch that? It was awkward to say the least. And then while they're talking, John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, at first, it doesn't look like there's much there, but I've studied it a little bit. And what you have to realize is that it broke Peter's heart when Jesus referred to him as Simon, son of Jonah, because that was his natural earthly identifying name. When Jesus encountered Peter and Peter encountered Jesus earlier on in life, Jesus changed his name to the Rock Man. Do you remember that? That was a prophetic name. He would have an identity of this solid rock that he had in this relationship with Jesus. And Jesus calls him by his earthly name, his earthly identity. And then another thing that broke Simon's heart, Jesus says, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And the these for Peter were the fish. It was his career as a fisherman. It was the way he made a living. And that had covered up his first love for Jesus. Everything that Jesus had spoken to him about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he would lead them into all truth, and he would empower them to be witnesses, and he wouldn't leave them orphans. All the things that Jesus promised that would happen through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, Peter allowed fear and work and pursuit for other things in the moment to cover up his first love. Can you see that? So what are the these? What are the these, T-H-E-S-E, what are the these for us? What are the these that run the risk of covering up our first love for Jesus? It doesn't have to be bad. It just creeps in. It could be family. Oh, Pastor Robert, what do you mean? Family's first. No. Not true. Hear me. Jesus is first. And if he's there where he's supposed to be, can I just let you in on a secret? Family works better. Can you say amen? Some of you might think, oh, no, kids are first. No, they're not. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they're on the first big priority for you as a parent. They are. But when you submit your heart to Jesus first, and then you give your kids to Jesus, kids work better. Can you say amen? So hear what I'm saying. Stuff comes in and not intentionally, but we're not careful. It can cover up. So the second thing we got to do is this. I will rebuild habits that move me towards first love. Say rebuild. Rebuild. You know what that means. Pastor Robert, what does that mean? Well, I want to give you an assignment this week. Some of you are like, homework? I don't want homework. This is a good homework assignment. I want you to think about what stirs your love for Jesus, what stirs your love for Christ, the things that you once did or the things that you do that you know stir your love for Christ. I want you to begin to rebuild those areas in your life this week. For example, it could be devotional time with God. Now, I want to speak to all of you that are already doing that, like me. We run the risk of doing it out of just routine and religious commitment without a heart being there when we do it because we've been doing it so long. So those of you that are doing it, do it fresh this week. Maybe sing a song. Tell him how much you love him. Pray in the Spirit. Do something to stir yourself up a little bit and open up your heart wide to God. Don't just do it so you could check the box. Amen. For those of you who aren't doing that yet, you don't know where to start, you don't know what to do, hey, connect with us. We'll show you how to read your Bible, catch a scripture, see an observation, see how it applies to your life, and then do a prayer so that it's meaningful and God's word begins to work. If you're not doing that yet, I promise, if you begin to doing that, it'll stoke the flame for your love for God. He'll begin to speak to you. He'll begin to show you things. He'll begin to help you. Here's another assignment that you could take on if you'd like to. You can join a connect group. We've got some of those going on. November 7th. Somebody say November 7th. This is so exciting. November 7th on a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday of November, we're going to roll out a four-week group experience called Following Jesus. And it's so fundamental. It's so foundational. It's for everybody, though. If you're newer in your relationship with Jesus and you don't know how to follow him, this class is going to be instructional, it's going to be relational, it's going to be conversational, and it will show you how to begin to take solid steps to building a solid life with Jesus. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you need a refresh, you need a redo, you need to pursue him at another level, come and be part of that. 4 weeks only, but it will help you to kind of restoke that flame for your love for Jesus. Another thing I could say this is we're going to have some connect group training real soon, and we're going to start some groups that are specifically for women. Can women say amen? Amen. Right? So if you're a woman and you want to be in a group with some other women and you don't want us guys to be involved in that, because women have a different language, right, guys? And we're okay if they don't want us in their group, right, guys? So we're going to create some women group experiences where you can talk about women's stuff, but that will help you stoke your flame and your passion for Jesus. Did you know that there are huge benefits to setting your love on Christ? Do you have a Bible? Open it up with me to Psalm 91 real quick. We're almost done. Don't fall asleep. Stay with me. If you're with me, say amen. Psalm 91. Most of us know Psalm 91 of this Psalm of Protection. It's so powerful. And the psalmist is writing about all the blessing of God protecting us and keeping us. But then when we get to verse 14, the psalmist isn't writing or talking anymore. It changes, and now God's talking to the psalmist. Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16, watch it. God speaking, because he has set his love upon me. Stop. I want you to hear what God is saying to you and to me. Because you have set your love upon me. When I looked that up in the Hebrew, it means we've decided to desire God above other things. We long for God. We're joined to God. We're connected to God. He's our delight. He's our best. He's our uttermost. He's our first. Listen to this. Because he has set his love upon me, listen, therefore I will deliver him. Because he has set his love upon me, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Can you say amen? These are wonderful promises, wonderful benefits to setting your love on God. On Jesus. Now, I don't want you to think like we have to work for God's love. No, no, no. He already loved you through Jesus. And when we respond, when we reciprocate that love, we position ourselves to be in close connection with him, and we're thinking his thoughts, and we're being led by his Spirit, and we're relying on his promises and his faithfulness. And little by little, life begins to work at a whole new level. There are great benefits to setting our love on Jesus. First love. Somebody say it. First love. First love. First love. Now in closing, here's the third thing. So once you're uncovering the things that have covered it up, once you're rebuilding, I will continue. Say continue. I will continue guarding and cultivating my first love for Christ. Remember Jesus said this in the letter, repent and do. the first works. Do you remember that? Repent and do the first works. Repent, if you've been in church or you grew up in church, that might have like a strong condemning tone. It's not that at all. Repent means allow my perspective for your life to begin to change the way you think so that your life can go in a different direction. Amen. That's what repent means. There's a godly sorrow, but it's not a condemning feeling from the devil. God doesn't condemn. He convinces. He lovingly corrects. And his heart's cry is, repent. Change the way you think. Catch my perspective for your life and begin to go in a different direction. And then part of that he says, and do. Say do. Yeah. Do the first works. What does that mean? Well, those of us that are married or we have a significant other that we love tremendously, you know what that means. When you first started dating, when you first started calling each other, when you first started sending notes to each other, I remember I'd bring flowers. I remember we'd stay on the phone for hours. I remember I'd get butterflies when I was going to go pick up Yolanda. I remember I would get a little nervous and a little giddy just being around her. I remember the first things that were so heartfelt as we were starting that relationship. You know, we have to rekindle those feelings for Jesus. We can come to church every week and have no heart connection. He doesn't want just your hand. He wants our heart. Do the first works. What does that look like? I don't know. It's different for everybody. Spending time with God, telling him that you love him. If you can sing, sing to him. If you can't sing, sing a joyful noise. Amen. Maybe it means honoring him in your finances. I don't know. That's between you and him. Maybe it means doing a family Bible study. Maybe it means taking your children or your grandchildren and spending time and talking about Jesus. There are first love works that may have grown cold in our relationship with Jesus, and he's saying, do those. It's not hard, like your relationship with people. Spend time with me. Talk to me. Listen to me.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.